Praise the Lord, church. I ought to just hand this over to my dad, and he can do it. He could if he wanted to. I love the Lord tonight. I'm so glad to be in his house. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? There's no other place I'd rather be than be amongst God's people. I'm thankful that I'm identified with Jesus Christ today. And he knows me, Brother Eric. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows my intentions tonight. I don't know about you, but I've come here with some intentions. I've come in here for a purpose. I don't know about you, but I've come in here to get something from the Lord. I didn't come in here just to sit around and to stare at somebody in the face, but I come in here to get something from God. I've come in here for maybe for a deliverance. I've come in here for maybe a healing. I've come in here for maybe something that I need that done tonight. Done tonight. It can happen for you. It can happen for me if we just hold on to his unchanging hand tonight. God is wanting to speak to some heart, to some soul, and to some mind tonight. We're going to go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. And tonight we're going to talk a lot about Moses. Moses is a familiar man in the Word of God. There's a lot of things that when I read throughout the book of Exodus, when I read about Moses' life, I can kind of mirror him or mirror myself after him, and I kind of relate to him a little bit. But verse 1, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside." And this is where I kind of want to hang my hat on, but we're going to read some more scripture. Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I." Verse 5 says, "And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." We understand tonight, we got to know where we're at in God. We got to be conscious of where our spiritual mind, our spiritual man is at. And let's go to the next chapter, chapter 4. We're going to read 1 through 15 here. It says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It was restored. Verse 8 goes on and it says, And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou hast taken out of the river shall become blood upon thy dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue. Sometimes I believe I'm slow of mind as well. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. He said, you know, there's got to be somebody else. Still, after all these signs, there's got to be somebody else that you can send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, it is not Aaron the Levite, thy brother. I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Tonight, church, all of us are called to his purpose. All of us are called to his purpose. If you want to lay your Bibles down, let's go to the Lord, before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you because you're a God who sits on the throne. Lord, you know each and every heart, each and every soul, and each and every mind in this place, Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to get something from your message tonight, Lord. Help me, Lord, to preach or teach or do whatever you want me to do tonight, Lord. I just want to be used by you, Lord, tonight. I just want your presence and your power and your glory to move in a mighty way, Lord. Help us to leave changed by your Holy Ghost, by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, help us to not leave unchanged, but help us to leave changed by you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As you're seated, somebody say, the mountains that made me. Let me understand, we go through some mountains in life. We go through some mountains in life. We all must have a personal burning bush experience and learn the fundamentals of God and who God truly is. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. If you've been in the church day one or if you've been for 20, 30 years, we got to have a fundamental idea of who Jesus Christ is and how he works in our lives. I'm going to ask you these questions and you don't have to answer them, but just keep them in your mind and think about them as I'm speaking tonight. But what do you think is necessary for you to be used by God? What do you think is necessary for you to be used by God? Do you have to have a complete mastery of the Bible? Do you have to have all this complete knowledge? Do you have to know the scripture from the very beginning to the very end? We would love for that to happen, but that does not always happen. And I can pass the microphone to almost everybody in this place, and they don't know exactly word for word what God exactly what he means 100%, because the word of the Lord is new every day, and so he brings new things to light in our life as we read the word of God. But can I tell you that you don't have to know everything to be used by God. You don't have to have the pedigree to be used by God. You don't have to have the background to be used by God. But God will use anybody. He is no respecter of persons. He loves you and he loves me. And he wants his will to be done in his church. Whoever's going to do it, Brother Ken, that's who he wants to do it. Whoever is willing to do what God has called them to do, that's who he wants to do through and with. We understand Moses was an 80-year-old shepherd living in the desert after fleeing from his home out of fear that he would be arrested for murder after he murdered the Egyptian. He was on the run. He was in the house of Jethro, and he was taking care of the flock of Jethro. And can I tell you something tonight, church? You're never going to find the will of God sitting on a pew. You're never going to fully understand what your calling in Christ is if you don't put your hand to the plow and work while the time is going on in your life. And I haven't been in a church too long. I'm only 30 years old. But I can tell you that I've never been more out of the will of God than when I've taken a back seat to my roles and my responsibilities in the church. It's time that the church gets involved. You want to know what your calling is. You want to know what you've been called to do by Jesus Christ. It's working in the church. It's serving. It's serving one another. And that's what Moses, we find in this book, in the book of Exodus, he was serving while the Lord got his attention. He was taking care of the sheep, and he was being a shepherd to the sheep. In Exodus chapter 3, we've read it, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read it again, but it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, a fire, and out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why thy bush is not burnt. Notice in verse 2, when Moses caught a glimpse of the bush that was burning and yet not being consumed, the first thing he decided to do was look at it. He decided to change his perspective. He decided to move his eyeballs to what caught his attention. Can I tell you, with what has happened in the news with Charlie Kirk's assassination, there are signs and there are things that are happening in the world. And we ought to move our eyeballs and be aware of what's going on in the world. Can I tell you today that modernism still exists? Can I tell you today that the call of God still exists? The Lord is still calling this generation. The Lord is still calling people. Even though sin abounds, grace does more abound. God is greater than sin. God is greater than evil. God is greater than all these hardships that we go through in life. And so his reaction seems very, very normal. It is likely we would do the same if we saw a bush burning. We would look and say, wow, a bush is burning. I wonder why it's not caught on fire, really not being consumed by this fire. But what happened next changes Moses' life in the course of history forever. In verse 3, we see Moses made the decision to do what? To turn aside. To turn aside. Whichever side he took, he turned aside. And he moved his attention toward what caught his eye. How many understand? The church needs to be aware of what's going on today. Not only in the world, but in your own spiritual walk with God. In your own life, in your own walk with the Lord. You got to be aware. You got to understand where you're at. He could have shrugged it off and decided the bush was none of his business and that he had too many problems with the sheep or to be bothered, but something inside of Moses was drawn to him by the burning bush. Anybody ever been drawn by the Lord? Anybody ever been drawn by his spirit? It's time for us to be drawn by the Lord. Something inside of him compelled him to turn aside and investigate. Can I tell you tonight, church, if you don't turn aside and investigate, you'll never know what God has in store for you. If you don't turn aside and throw all your other duties out the window, out the door, and focus on Jesus Christ every once in a while, God wants you to do it every day. I believe you ought to do it every day. But can I tell you, if you don't realize where you're at in life and where you're at spiritually, you're going to miss what God has in store for you. And so imagine if Moses would have just looked at that burning bush and said, you know what, it's on fire, I've got duties I got to go do. I got to take care of the sheep. This is more important than what's going on over here. Can I tell you something? Nothing is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than you fulfilling the call of God on your life, whatever that may be. This is the first key to being used by God. Some may be asking the question, how can I be used by God? How can God use me, someone like me? I don't hold a position at church. I don't even amount to much at work, maybe. I feel like I just get kicked around in life, and I feel like I just don't have that much purpose. And what is the call of my life? Why am I here? Can I tell you something? You're here because God loves you. You're here because God has a plan for you. You're here because God has a purpose for you. We need one another. We need one another. We need to lean on one another in this church. Don't miss the opportunity God has for you. Don't miss the opportunity for God to anoint you. Don't miss the opportunity for God to use you. Moses very well could have missed his opportunity for the Lord to use him. And he even tried. We'll dissect this further along as we go here, but he tried numerous times of saying, Lord, I'm not the one you want. Lord, I'm not the guy. Lord, I'm not the one you want. Trust me, you don't want me. I have problems. I have situations. I have things in my life. Can I tell you something? When you read throughout the whole book of Exodus and you read out through the whole entire Bible, there's plenty of people that had so many things wrong with them, but yet God still used them. God still had a plan. God still had a purpose for them. And so in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, that's when God called out unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, what? Here am I. Here am I." We need to understand when God calls us, we need to answer him back. So many times we want God to call us and we get to that point where God is calling us. We've given our life over to God. We've given all we can that's left to give, Brother Jason. We've done all the right things, and God is calling us, but yet we're still holding on to the pew. But yet we're still holding on to the things that we think are holding us back from what God is trying to do in our life. We hold on to the things that are comfortable. Can I tell you something? It's a dangerous place to feel so comfortable that you don't want to move when God is calling you to move. Because you're going to miss your opportunity. You're going to miss your blessing. You're going to miss your chance. You're going to miss your window. Can I tell you, God didn't open up the window of heaven and call down to Moses. God didn't cause the clouds to form in the letters of his name. He didn't have some kind of full-blown deal where it was just astronomical of how God called him. But all God did was manifest his presence in the burning bush. And then he waited until Moses turned aside. It was just a bush that was on fire that caught the attention of Moses. Can I tell you something? Sometimes God places things in your life to catch your attention. And sometimes we overlook that. Sometimes we overlook the call of God is crying out to you. God is bringing forth his hand into your life. And he's saying, come, draw closer to me. Draw nigh unto me. I love you. I care for you. I have a purpose. I have a plan for you. And so many times, Dad, we look at God and we say, you know what? I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. But all the while, God is ready for you to make a move. God is ready for, how many are in this place tonight that are ready to make a move for God? I'm ready to make a move for God. I want to move when God tells me to move. I want to do when God tells me to do. I want to be in his will. I want to be in his way tonight, church. Can I encourage you tonight to be willing to turn aside when God is calling you? Be willing to have a heart that's ready for God to move. We ought to be ready for God to move. Turning aside doesn't mean chasing after every wind of doctrine that comes your way or thinking you see God in the shape of your cereal tomorrow morning. It doesn't mean anything by that. It's some people just think it's, oh, I have to have a tremendous sign. I have to have something that just blows my socks off. I have to have something that just makes my whole entire body just spin around and I'm thrown for a loop. No, it doesn't happen like that. Can I wake the church up tonight and say it doesn't always happen like that? It's things that just we take advantage of, we take for granted, and we look at it and we say, oh, that's nice, that's pretty, I like that in my life, I'm glad the Lord blessed me with that. But God, I really want this. And I'm not really ready to move on from this subject. I want this to happen first. But God is all the while reaching out to you, and he's throwing you hints, and he's throwing you signs, and he's saying, you know what, I'm reaching for you, but you're not reaching back. You're not turning aside to me. You're not looking. You're not aware of what I'm trying to do in your life. When Moses acknowledged the voice of God, he immediately received a seemingly strange set of instructions. And in Exodus chapter 3, the next verse, in verse 5, it says, "And he said, draw not thy hither, but put off thy shoes off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Is holy ground. Here we see the second key to being used by God. Some preparation is going to have to be a necessity in your life for God to move. For the will of God to totally flourish in your life, you're going to have to understand there's going to be some preparation that you're going to have to do. Just like Moses, he had to take off his shoes because he had to understand this is holy ground. This is what God wants me. If this is what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what somebody else says. I don't care what my neighbor says. I don't care what my best friend thinks I ought to do. I don't think what my peer at work says I ought to do. And you know what? I'm going to lean on to God's understanding, and I'm going to say, you know what, Lord? Whatever it takes for me to move to the next plateau in my spiritual walk with you, that's what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what Moses did. He didn't argue with God. He didn't buck God. He didn't say, Lord, I'm not ready yet. But he took off his shoes. He took off his shoes because he understood where holy ground was and what that meant. And what that meant to him. Typically, there is a space of time between God calling us and God actually using us. Often we make the mistake of assuming that because we hear the voice of God after we have turned aside, results will be immediate, and nothing else is required from us once we show an interest in being used of God. How many understand that tonight? There's usually a gap between when the Lord is calling you and then when he actually uses you. So what do we do with that? We continually seek God's face. We continually are being led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost is so essential, is that it leads us and it guides us and it protects us and it gives us a sense of a whereaboutness of where are we at right here. I got to have the Holy Ghost to understand that. I got to have God's Spirit dwelling and living and breathing inside of me to understand where I am. And so if we are to move forward in what God has planned for my life and for your life, we must take some changes to our own lives that result in knowing God on a deeper level, church. Once we agree to allow God access to our lives, the status quo will no longer be acceptable. Sometimes we're so accepting of just the base model. We're just so accepting of the base model of a move of God. Oh, I felt him. I felt the goosebumps. Well, I felt him just, I felt my body shake a little bit. I felt something rise up in me. But if you don't allow yourself and allow your heart to recognize what's going on between you and the Lord, you're missing out on what God has in store for you. You're missing out on what God has in store for you. If we want God to take us to the next level, some things will always be required. Like I said before, I've never really understood how to be used by God until I actually did something inside of the church, until I started going to prayer meetings, until I started trying to learn an instrument, until I started cleaning the toilets, until I started serving somebody, until I started talking to somebody about God, until I started living it outside of these four walls. I never really understood what really being in the will of God really meant for my life until I started doing what everyone's called to do, to serve. To reach out to people, to help one another. As soon as Moses complied with God's instructions to remove his shoes, God began to reveal his identity to Moses. Can I tell you something? When you start doing what God tells you to do, he's going to start revealing himself to you. When you start giving up some things that you usually never would have given up in the past, that you're holding on to, that's when God is going to start moving. And he's going to start revealing how good he is to you. He's going to start blessing you for it. Let me tell you something. The things that you lay down, God is going to bless you for that. A lot of times we think, oh, if I lay this down, I may never feel the same joy, the same peace, the same feeling that it makes me feel. Can I tell you something? You lay that down, it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel free. It's going to make you feel like you're moving, like you're progressing. No one wants to stand still. I don't know about you. When I stand still, my body hurts. I can show you about 2 footprints right over there on that carpet that's pressed down because I stand still and I play the piano and I hurt when I get home. My legs are sore because I got chicken legs. So I can tell you, when you're standing still in God, it's not going to work out very well for you. But we ought to progress. We ought to move forward in God. The third key to being used of God is this. God can overcome all our weaknesses and objections by providing us with the proper perspective. The necessary tools that we need to be successful in God. Can I tell you something? All you have right now is all you need. All you have right now is all you need to serve God. You don't need anything else. You don't need a bigger house. You don't need a fancier car. You don't need a better job. You don't need a better marriage. You don't need a better boyfriend or a better girlfriend or a better college or a better degree. You don't need any of that. You have all you need. God has set you up with the perfect tool to have that has set you up to succeed in God. When Moses told God he was not good enough for this job because Pharaoh would never listen to him, God's response was to give Moses the proper perspective. God explained it in this way. It's not about you, Moses, but it's about me. You're not going to convince Pharaoh, Moses. I'm going to convince Pharaoh. Can I tell you something? We all wrestle with this idea of, Lord, if I give it to you, what's going to happen? Sometimes. Lord, I'm scared. I'm worried. I don't know how this is all going to transpire. I don't like not being in control of my situation and my outcome. I don't like making my own decisions. But Lord, I'm going to give it to you anyways. I'm going to give it to you anyways. The Lord was speaking to Moses, and the Lord will speak to you in a manner of saying, all I need you to do is to allow me to use you. All I need you to do is to allow me to use you. We have to understand that in our weakness, God is made strong. If we think we are able to do a work for the Lord in and of ourselves, we are setting ourselves up for a huge mishap, a huge mistake, a huge problem, a huge situation in our life. I need God every hour of every day. I need Jesus Christ in my life. I'm living proof, you're living proof that you need Jesus Christ in your life. If you didn't need God in your life, you wouldn't be here today. But we're all here because God has done one thing or another in our life for His perfect will. For His perfect will. Can I tell you tonight, God didn't heal you to sit and do nothing. God didn't save you to sit there and do nothing. God didn't deliver you to sit there and do nothing. God didn't protect you from that car accident for you to sit there and do nothing. God didn't save you and deliver you from drugs and alcohol for you to sit there and do nothing and not shine your light on somebody else and be an example to somebody else. But He called us according to His perfect will and His perfect purpose in our life. We have to understand where we're at. We got to step aside and allow God to move in the things that we see. We got to look at the signs and the things that God is trying to grab our attention and say, I'm wanting to use you, but are you willing? I'm wanting to use you, but are you going to allow me to use you? Moses, he also told God that the people of Israel would never listen to him. God's response is very instructive for you and I today. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. How many understand sometimes when we know what we ought to do, we're intimidated by the fact of what is going to happen? And we would rather sit on the bench and let somebody else obtain a blessing and let somebody else be used of God and without suffering hardship, without suffering problems and situations. Can I tell you, the moment you start doing something for God, you're going to even have probably even worse problems that come on your life. But that is just a test that turns into a testimony. If you wait it out, if you get through it, if you see the Lord on the other side, if you keep going and keep going and never give up, you're going to see God do some great things. But can I tell you, you're going to come to a point of opposition when you start being used by God. Because the devil will try everything he can to stop you. don't know about you. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray and I need something and I just keep praying after it and I keep praying after it, there's also other problems that occur. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? I'm trying to pray for this problem, and yet some more other things are still nipping at me and trying to overtake me and overcome me. It's because the devil does not want anything to transpire in your life. The devil wants you to fail, but you're not designed to fail. God, we already read it. God has given you all the tools that you need right now. Verse 2, it says, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. How often do we delay the work of God because we feel that one day in the future, when God provides us with all the resources we think we need and everything falls perfectly into place, God will be able to use us. God is asking each and every one of us right now the simple question, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Can I say, would you rather have an iPhone or a phone or in your hand, or would you rather have a Bible in your hand? Would you rather lay your head on a pillow or on the couch, or would you rather lay your head on an altar? Would you rather do something else than come to the house of God and serve Him and serve other people at the same time and figure out where you are at in God, or would you rather just, you know, take a different route and say, Lord, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm willing to risk all of that. I don't know if I'm willing to risk my natural mind and my natural heart, what my natural man is speaking to me. But we ought to say, Lord, I want to go after the spiritual man. I want my spirit to raise up in me and be guided by your spirit. 40 years before the burning bush, when Moses fled from Egypt, God knew what he was going to ask of Moses. Before you and I were born, he had a plan for you. Brother Caleb, before you were born, he had a purpose for your life. No one was made by mistake. You are not a failure. You are not a mistake. You are not someone that is going to be stepped upon, but God's people are chosen. They're a peculiar people. They're a royal priesthood. You're special in the eyes of God. As we make up our minds to allow God to use us, we need to understand that He can supernaturally use whatever we have at our disposal right now to accomplish His will. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 3 through 9, God turned Moses' rod into a snake and back into a rod again. Then God turned Moses' hand into a leprous hand, and then back into a healthy hand again. God even told Moses, if the people of Israel didn't believe this sign, then they should believe the sign of you pour the water out on the ground and it's going to turn into blood. It doesn't matter to God how few and how pitiful our resources are when we set out to do a work for Him. He can supernaturally take what we know right now, what we possess right now, and use it for His glory. He can use whatever you have at your disposal and use it for His glory. Not for your glory. Not for you to say, oh, I did this, I did that. No, it's all because of God. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's not by the hand of man, but it's by the hand of God. Moses still refused to believe that God could use him in that manner. After all these three signs that were performed, I'm telling you right now, I'm just as human as anybody else is. And man, if God turned a rod into a snake and came back to a rod again, and God turned my hand into leprosy and then turned it right back to a normal hand again, and my Lord, what else does He need to do for you? What else does He need to do for me? If somebody can give a testimony, if Brother Jason can give a testimony and say, the Lord did this for me, He can do it for you, what else do I need? What else do I need? I can make it off of somebody else's testimony. I can make it off of somebody else's testimony. So all He expects for us All he expects for me, all he expects for you and I is to turn aside. To turn aside. God asks Moses, don't you understand that I am the one who invented the mouth? Moses says, I'm slow to speech. I don't think I can talk in front of a bunch of people, and you're looking at a guy who got a D minus in public speaking in college. And here I am talking to 80 people, 60 or maybe to 70 people, maybe possibly. And can I tell you, God can do some tremendous things if you allow him to use you. I'm not perfect by no means. I messed up my speech. I couldn't even say necessary. I still can't say it. I still can't say that word. Can I tell you, God works with whatever you'll give him. He doesn't care who you are, what you can bring to the table. All he wants you to do is bring it to the table, and he will use it for his glory. My God, I want to be used. In this hour, in this generation of perverseness, I want to be used. Sister Bree, I want to be the one that leads somebody to God. Brother Mikey, I want to be the one that knocks on somebody's door and they come to church because I gave them an invitation to church. I want to be the one to be used by God. I want to be the one. We ought to strive to be the one. We ought not to strive to ride the bench. We ought to strive to be the one. What a lack of faith Moses had. A man of great valor and of highest stature in the Bible. What a lack of faith Moses had. I don't know if he had a lack of faith in God, but I know he had a lack of faith in himself. He had a lack of faith in himself. How many understand tonight that sometimes you are your own worst enemy? God is reaching for you, but yet you still bring up the past. You still bring up the hurt. You still bring up the things that are besetting you, and you bring up the things that are holding you down, but God is wanting you to give those up for him. Can I tell you, if you're in this place and something is holding you back, you can give it to God tonight. And he can flip your script around. And as long as you're turning aside and you're saying, Lord, I see you moving and I'm going to give it to you, he's going to move in your situation. God will always provide the necessary help from other members of his body to facilitate his plans. He used Aaron to help Moses speak. He's going to use you to help me. He's going to use me to help you. This is what the church is all about. It's not all about how can I be a better praise and worshiper than such and such. How can I be a better musician than such and such? How can I be a better singer than such and such? No, it's not all about that, but it's about joining together in one body and one accord and being there for one another and seeing the church grow and saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it for your glory, and I'm going to do it so to make sure your church keeps going and your message keeps being delivered to people. God will always provide the help if you need it. If you need it. I need help. You need help. God doesn't expect us to do everything for his plans to be realized in our life. He doesn't want us to do everything. He just wants you to bring you. Can I tell you, you're never going to be it all that when you come to God. When you're trying to do the Lord's will and you want to do what God has called you to do, there's never going to be a perfect time. There's never going to be a perfect place. There's never going to be a perfect song sang. There's never going to be a perfect message preached across the pulpit. There's never going to be a perfect time for you. But God is wanting you to move now. God is wanting me to move now. He's not wanting us to look at the burning bush and say, you know what, I've got other opportunity. I've got another time. I got another. You may not ever have another opportunity. You may not ever have another chance to do what God has called you to do, to turn aside. You may never have another time where you can turn aside and say, I see that sign, Lord, and I'm going to act on it. I'm going to move on. You may never get that opportunity again. And this is what tonight is for you to have an opportunity to step aside and say, Lord, I see what you're trying to do in my life, and I want to move when you say move. I want to speak when you say speak. I want to walk when you say walk. I want to do when you say do. If all I have is a staff, a speech impediment, and an older brother you haven't seen in over half your life, God is not intimidated by those odds. God is not intimidated by the odds in your life. He can do all things. You might have to take off your shoes every once in a while. You may have to listen to and abide by the principles that our pastor preaches every once in a while. We ought to do it daily. Is abide by the principles of the church. You might have to take some things, take a job, and say, Lord, I'll give it to you. I've done it. I had a job at one point when I was in getting out of college, and I could have been a mail carrier for the U.S. Post Office in Greenwood. And I was excited. I was ready for it. I wanted to go. I wanted to do it. I wanted to make some money. And they said, you know what? We're going to start you, but you're going to have to work on Sundays, and you're going to have to work on weekends, and you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do that. And that time, I was really wanting to try to get involved and really get in church and really do it and really do the work of God and really do what God has called me to do. And I was searching for God and my purpose. And for some reason, I've always been taught, my father always taught me, don't ever put anything in front of God. In the church I grew up, always, my pastor always told me, Brother Stevenson always told me, don't you ever put anything in front of God. And I'm not saying that working is bad and trying to make the best out of your situation is bad. We ought to make the best of what we have, what we can get a hold of. But can I tell you, God made a way where there seemed to be no way. When I had to take it to the back burner and say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to find something else. Maybe something else will come up that's maybe a little bit maybe better money or better situation for my lifestyle that I was living. And you know, God still blessed me, and God still brought me here where I am today. Can I tell you, there's going to be some odds that's going to be against you. But if you give it to God, he's going to make sure you come out on the other side as a winner, not a loser. Not a loser. Can I tell you something? Moses never even saw the promised land. Moses never even saw the promised land because of his anger, because of his problem. But he still led thousands of the children of Israel to the promised land. And he said, you know what? If I can't experience it, I'm still going to lead the people. I'm still going to lead your people, God, because it's what I've been called to do. That would be a hard pill to swallow, to not see the end of it, but to still follow through with your calling. Can I tell you something? Before God comes back, you may never even see what God has actually called you to do. You may never see what God's called you to do, but as long as I'm in the will of God and as long as I'm in the way of God, I know where my end's going to be. It's going to be in heaven someday, and that's where I want to be. But just like he did with Moses, God will use what you already have to perform what he desires, not what I desire. My desires are crazy sometimes. Your desires are out in left field sometimes. Trust me, I know, because I played baseball, and I know what it feels like to be out in left field. Nothing ever happens. And so he will send resources your way. I mean, understand tonight, God will send people your way to help you. God will send a man of God, a pastor to help you, a shepherd, someone that's in your life to guide you, to steer you in the right direction. That's what Moses was doing at the time. He was shepherding. He was serving. He was doing the will of God. Can I ask you just to take a moment to think about your life? Take a moment and think about the things that are going on in your life. What natural abilities do you have that you're willing to allow God to use? What are your attributes that you can look at and say, you know what, I can help the church out in this manner. I can do what God's called me to do, Brother Josh, in this way. I'm good at reaching out to this group of people. I'm good at talking to this person. I can reach out to this person. I can reach out to this group of people, and the Lord will use me. I know he will. Consider the simple question. What is stopping you from turning aside? What is stopping you and I today from turning aside? Take off your shoes. What is stopping you from taking off your shoes? What is stopping you from what God is trying to do in your life? Let's go ahead and lay our excuses out on the table and examine them in light of Scripture. Sometimes people get strange ideas about what God requires from us to be used by him. Sometimes we think of, in our own mind, God can't use me because of this. God won't use me because of this. Moses was doing that. He was examining his life and he was picking out all the bad things, all the problems, all the hardships in his life. I'm understanding God wants you to pick out all the good things that is in your life. He doesn't want us to dwell on the bad things. He wants us to give him the good things. Consider these facts, that Jacob was a liar. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Samson had more issues than perhaps any other character in the Word of God. But yet they were all still mightily used for God's glory. They were all still men of God that carried the mail and said, you know what, I may have problems, but I'm going to turn my eyes back on you, Lord. I'm going to turn my heart back on you, Lord. I may have messed up. I may have fallen. I may have gone backwards. I may have slipped up. I may have tripped up, but I'm going to turn my heart back to you, Lord. I'm going to turn my eyes back on. I'm going to turn aside, and I'm going to look at what you have in store for me. Moses, he had a bad temper. Moses, he murdered an Egyptian. He buried him in the sand and then ran away from home because of fear that he would be found out. God sent the death angel throughout Egypt and in a manner of trying to kill Moses and kill all the firstborn and trying to, you know, wipe out what was going on. Can I tell you, it's time for us to put away the excuses of what we can come up with. It's time to allow ourselves to be used by God, church. It's time to have our own burning bush moment and allow the lessons God teaches you and I. He wants to sustain you and I. He wants to keep you and I. He wants to mold you and I. He wants to shape you and I to be who he's called us to be. And as the musicians come and as the singers come tonight, I want to end on this. If everyone wants to stand, if you can stand tonight. Moses was so imperfect. Moses had so many problems. And this is why I can mirror my life after Moses. We're all imperfect people, but we've come together for a perfect plan of salvation. We're all imperfect. We all mess up. We all have our faults. We all have our failures. Can I tell you, he's not looking for a perfect person. He's working for someone that's going to allow him to put them on the potter's wheel and mold them and shape them and buff out the hard edges and make it smooth again and make it right again and mend it back together, the problems that's in your life. Can I tell you today that God wants to do a work, but will you allow him to do it? Imagine this altar area is a burning bush physically. We got to make a move and turn aside today. Can I challenge you tonight to speak to the Lord and ask if what you are feeling is His will? So many times we feel something going on in our heart. We feel something going on in our spirit, in our soul. And we say, what is that? That is God tugging at your heart. That is the Lord tugging at your spirit. That is the Lord saying, I want you to move. That is the Lord saying, yeah, you may have problems in your life. Yeah, you may have messed up today. Yeah, you may mess up tomorrow, but I'm still calling you. You may have fallen short, but I'm still calling you. Yeah. He's beckoning you to come. He is beckoning you to come tonight. Can I challenge you to talk to Him as if you're staring into the burning bush of His presence? Be honest. Tell Him if you're scared. Be honest. Tell Him if you're worried. Be honest with Him. Tell Him that you've got this in your life, and I don't know how to handle this. I don't know where this is going to take me, what your plan is for me, Lord. I have this going on in my life. I have that going on in my life. Lord, I don't know what your plan is, but I want to be used by you. I don't know what I have to give up to obtain what you want in my life, Lord, but I'm going to give it up. I'm going to lay it on the altar. I'm going to give it up to you. I'm not going to lay it down and take it back up again and take it back with me, but I'm going to leave it at the altar. Yeah. I'm going to leave it at your feet. Once you leave it at God's feet, you need to prepare yourself because God is going to use you. Once you leave it at God's feet, you better be prepared because God is going to talk to you. He's going to speak to you. And at that moment, that's when you got to answer the call and you've got to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Whatever you want in my life, whatever avenue you want me to go, I don't care if it's a trail that hasn't even been blazed yet, I'm going to go down that path. We wouldn't have what we have today if somebody would have never went down the trail that hadn't been blazed yet. If we wouldn't have answered the call of God, this church, if our pastor wouldn't answer the call of God, this church wouldn't be here today. I'm a firm believer of that. If you don't answer the call of God, you may never know where you're going to end up. Turn aside, church. Turn aside. Because once you turn aside and you see the glory of God, grace abounds, mercy abounds, His perfect will abounds, His perfect plan abounds. There's blessings upon blessings. When you turn aside and you allow God to use you, don't be like Moses in the circumstance of, hey, I can't do it because I'm this, I'm that, I'm not well-versed. I can't talk to people. I can't do this. I fall short daily. I can't do this because I'm not good enough. I don't have the pedigree. You have what God can use. Yes. It's all the tools are there. Turn aside, church. Allow God to use you. Answer the call. God is calling. God is calling.